Well, this being Mothering Sunday, we want to look at this lady before us in chapter 9 here of the book of Acts, who was a great mother type. Even though we don't know much about her, we don't know if she had any children of her own, we don't know if she was married, we know nothing of her family life. Although, as we look at her and read these words together, it would be hard to think of someone who was more of a mother to those around them than this woman from Joppa named Tabitha or Dorcas. And I'm sure growing up, there was someone in your life, I'm sure everyone can relate to this, growing up in your life, there was someone there who you called Mum. We all have a physical mother, we all had to have. But many of us had that second mother. I'm sure you can relate to that. It may have been a mother of your best friend who, when you enter their house, you are treated like one of the children. And to you, they were like your second mum. They treated you that way. You loved going to the house. They looked after you. There's always that sense of being part of the family. And there's some people, maybe when their mother died young in life, or someone else took on that role and became, as it were, a second mum in that way. Or you can think back to your early days in Sunday school or a children's meeting, and there was a faithful and godly Sunday school teacher or children's worker, and to you they were like a mother. They were like a second mother. And for them, you were like their children. They may have had children of their own, they may not have, but to them, they were like an extension of their family. They were like children to them, and they were treated that way. And you have that connection between like a second mother. And I believe as we come to this portion of Scripture, if you had went to the people here in Joppa, and to these people in this church, and you had asked them who their second mother was in that sense, they would have pointed to this lady, Tabitha. They would have proudly pointed to her and said, "She is. She's done so much for us. She looked after us. She fed us. She clothed us. And she's like a second mother." As we come to this story, it's an important book, a part of the book of Acts, because it serves as an important bridge. Because you look at the opening verses of chapter 9, you know that portion very well. It's the conversion of Saul of Tarsus there on the Damascus Road. And in fact, we're going to be looking at the opening verses of chapter 9 tonight in our evening meeting. But it serves as a bridge between Paul's conversion and Paul's ministry to the Gentiles. The rest of the book of Acts goes on to describe how Paul went and brought the gospel, became a great preacher, and brought the gospel. But this little portion here in the middle is like a bridge between those two portions of Scripture. Paul's conversion, Paul's call, and then Paul going to preach the gospel. And this is found in the middle. And because of Tabitha, or Dorcas, we'll call her here this morning, Peter ended up in Joppa. It was at Joppa that God's great mercy to the Gentiles was first revealed to Peter in a vision. We read that over in chapter 10 and the verses 9 to 16. And it was from Joppa that Peter was first sent to bring the gospel to the household of the Roman centurion Cornelius. Again, read of that in Acts 10 and 11. And this great missionary endeavor that eventually opened the door to Paul's great ministry to the Gentiles world, it all happened as Peter was called and as these things came together. And Dorcas' story is an important link in all that, especially in the events that brought about the spread of the gospel that's described for us in the book of Acts. Another reason this story is important is because it helped establish and give the authority of the gospel, as it were, as the gospel was being spread abroad. Remember when Christ went to the cross, he told his disciples in John 14 and the verse 12, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." And the context of our story here this morning shows us that the gospel was being spread as Peter passed through it throughout all quarters, all parts of the country, and came down also to the saints which dwell at Lydda. Verse 32, read of that there. And here, Dorcas' story. even in being spread abroad, the authority of the gospel did not diminish, and the works of Christ did before the disciples, they did not, as the disciples followed on for him, the works did not diminish, but are rather these signs and wonders give authority and credence to the gospel message. But as important as those reasons are for this story and what happened here, I want to focus on Dorcas herself this morning. I want to not just think of the miracles that were performed at many people and those things, but I want to focus on this lady. Because as you read of her and the miracle of her being brought from the dead back to life, there's more told about her and concerning her, her background, her life, what she is involved in, than any other of the miracles that you really read of in the scriptures. And as I read her story this morning, I want you to see that God uses this godly woman who has a mother's heart. She has a mother's heart. And she was, as it were, a mother figure to many. And that's my title this morning, Mother to Many. Three things I want to note about her. Firstly, her identity. In verse 36, read there. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman is full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. First thing we read about her here is she lived in Joppa, which was a major port city of Israel, a city located on the Mediterranean coast about 30 miles west of Jerusalem. And goods from other parts of the world were shipped there regularly. And as a result, many people from all parts of the world walked along the streets of this city. It was a cosmopolitan city, we might say. You'll remember when God called Jonah to go to preach to the Ninevites. Remember how the reluctant prophet, he ran where? To Joppa, to that great city, that great port city, to catch the first boat out of town, so to speak. It was a busy shipping centre. And Joppa was a good place from which to go out and spread the gospel, a good starting point to go out to other areas and to bring the gospel to the Gentile world. And I believe that God in his providence deliberately placed Dorcas in a city from which her story could best spread to other lands. So this is where she lived. But you also find she had a lovely name. In Aramaic, her name Tabitha was Tabitha, but in Greek her name was Dorcas. And both names, Tabitha and Dorcas, mean the same thing, foe or gazelle. We might think of a gazelle. The roe is used symbolically in the Bible in several different ways. For one thing, the roe was a symbol of grace. I'm sure you've heard the saying, as graceful as a gazelle. In Proverbs, a husband is encouraged to adore his own wife as a loving hind and a pleasant roe. Proverbs 5:19. The name is also, the animal is also symbolic of exquisite beauty. The Shulamite woman there in the Song of Solomon was enthralled at the appearance of her beloved. My beloved is like a roe. And the husband also used the symbol of a roe to express his delight in the beauty of his bride. And also the roe is symbolic of swiftness and speed. In 1 Chronicles 12, verse 8, tells us that David had a band of men who joined themselves around him, who were, among other things, as light of foot as a wild roe. She put those things all together as you think of this lady. Dorcas's name then brought to mind the image of grace, of beauty, and of swiftness at a time of need. While I suspect this name was given to her at her birth, people who grew to know this woman and love her couldn't help but feel that it was the best name that could have been given to this woman. She was certainly a woman of grace. She certainly was beautiful in spirit, maybe even in appearance, we don't know. And she also was certainly very swift to meet the needs of others around her. What a picture of a mother this morning, who has grace and she'll be beautiful in spirit and certainly swift to help those who are around. And that starts obviously in the home with the family, with the children, but it doesn't just stop there. It goes on into all society. A third thing we're told about Dorcas, And the most important thing of all is she was a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. A disciple is one who is a teacher, a learner. We all are disciples that we received this morning. We are disciples, we are followers of Christ in that sense. And a little while before this time, a great persecution arose against the Christians in Jerusalem. And as a result of this persecution, the believers were all scattered throughout the land. They went to different areas, into Judea and Samaria. And we're told in Acts chapter 8, verse 4, that they were scattered abroad and went everywhere preaching the word. Perhaps Dorcas heard the gospel as a result of the preaching of these scattered believers. And she believed and she put her faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as a result of what she heard. And as a result of that, she became a devoted follower, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. A woman who is gazelle-like, in other ways, can't help but be a particular blessing to those around her if she's indwelt by the Spirit of God. If she's a follower of Christ, if she loves the Lord Jesus. The final thing we're told about her identity here is was she displayed her love and devotion to Jesus Christ in very practical ways in her life. She was a practical lady. We're told that she was full of good works and alms deed, which is charitable deeds, which she did. A good works is a phrase that speaks of just general acts of kindness to people, just being generally kind, as we all should be. We all are to be kind. But alms deeds, that is more specific. It means doing particular acts of mercy that relieve the burden of the poor and needy. Going the extra mile. And I know many of you women do that. You go the extra mile to help people, to help those that are in need, even those that are in need among our own church family. And the nature of these good works and charitable deeds can be seen in verse 39, because there we read of all the widows who are shown the garments that Dorcas had made while she was with them. I suspect they were shown them by the fact that they were wearing them. Because these hands that Dorcas had, she used them to bless others in practical ways. She used her hands. She didn't just do things in a half-hearted manner, but the Bible said that she was full. Notice that there. She is full with such deeds. She was full of them. That is, those deeds permeated her life and ruled her conduct, because they sprang from a heart that was overflowing with love for the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore with a love for others, those around her. And she didn't just do these good deeds and these alms deeds, these charitable acts occasionally, because the Bible uses that tense of the verb that describes these things as things which she did as a regular pattern of her life. This is a person you could rely upon. If you were in trouble and you lifted the phone or sent a text message, Dorcas would be on your doorstep. She'd be the one that would be there with a plate of food for you, or take you here or do something for you. She could be relied upon. We don't know whether or not Dorcas had children of her own, but she truly was a mother to many. She made things that they needed and saw to it that they were warm and cared for. And she was very much like that woman described in Proverbs 31. A woman who layeth her hand to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Dorcas's household was very large indeed, and included many around her who were needy and destitute. Her care for them was motivated out of a deep love for the Lord Jesus Christ. That was her motivation. It wasn't to hear well done or to be praised of men or to get her name on a plaque or something. It was because she loved the Lord. Because she loved the Lord, she loved others. And that is what it is to be a Christian, isn't it? When we love the Lord and realize He loved us in our sinfulness, in our depravity, and He showed His love by dying for us on Calvary, And then when we're saved and born again, and that love is shed abroad in our hearts, we are to love others. We are to love others. Her care for these people tells us that she was an encouragement and an inspiration to them. And it could be this morning you're here and you said, I don't feel I have any particular skills or qualities that I can give to this church. I don't have the ability to speak in front of others. I don't have the abilities to, or the talents or skills. I'm not a musician. I can't public speak. I can't do this. I just don't feel I have anything to give. You can be like Dorcas and give your hands. Give your hands in practical ways. And embrace the example of Dorcas from the heart and surrender those hands and surrender your heart to the Lord and meet the need of others around you that He has put in your community, in your church, that you can serve. Just ask the Lord, Lord, show me how I can work within the body of Christ, how I can be of service to you. And friend, the Lord will give you something to do. He will. He'll give you something to do. All He requires, again, we say it again, we've been saying it during the 12 disciples, say it again, all He requires is that you make yourself available to Him. And He will use you. He will use the talents He has given to you, because we all have talents, they're all different, but we all have talents. And your talent might be like Dorcas, that you can be a blessing to others in practical ways, in that motherly type, as it were. And Dorcas was such a woman. She was there to bless others. As a result, God made her a mother type to many. Think a little children's course, it sums it up well. Shamgar had an ox goad, David had a sling, Samson had a jawbone, Rahab had a string, Mary had some ointment, Aaron had a rod, Dorcas had a needle. All were used for God. The Lord can use you this morning. Her identity. Secondly, notice her impact. Her impact. Without giving any details, Luke, who was a doctor, simply says, it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died. And it seems she died suddenly. Just as a result of some tragic illness, it seems she died. And as a result of her death, the custom of the day, the Jewish people washed her body as in preparation for burial. And can you imagine the brokenness of the people around her? I can imagine the loving tenderness with which these believers in Joppa cared for this precious mother type as they washed down that body, as they prepared it in the traditional way for burial. But notice they didn't bury her immediately. Instead, they were told they laid her in an upper chamber. It may have been that they couldn't just, they loved this woman so much, they just couldn't bear to part of her right away, because the way they did in those days, the burial took place almost immediately. It's not like ours, we have a wake 2 or 3 days. It wasn't like that. But here, it seems they couldn't bring themselves to bury her right away. But what I believe really what it was, they were holding out for hope that God could heal this woman, that God could raise this woman from the dead, because they heard that Peter was staying in nearby Lydda, just 10 miles from Joppa. Some marvellous news had come out of that place concerning Peter and his ministry. If you look there at Acts 9, verse 32, we read this. And it came to pass as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. And so when these grieving disciples, these Christians in Joppa, heard that Peter was nearby in Lydda, heard that Peter had performed this miracle, we're told, we read it together earlier, that they sent 2 men down to Peter, begging him to come as quickly as possible. Perhaps their sense of urgency was because of the fact that Dorcas had just died, and he said, get him here quickly. Perhaps they thought the sooner Peter got to them, the less the decay the body would undergo, the greater likelihood Peter could revive her. And I believe their hopes for a miracle showed something of Dorcas's impact on these people. You see, when someone we love dies, we certainly sorrow, we grieve. Even if someone was ornery or cranky and maybe not the nicest person in that regard, and despite the way they lived, well, you don't want to see anyone die, as it were. But there are some people who pass away and you mightn't be in a big hurry, as it were, to bring them back in that sense. But here is Dorcas. She was such a beloved mother to many, to those around her, that if there was any chance of getting her back again, these people saw it. They grabbed at it. Go get Peter. Go get him. We've heard what he's done there, and go get him. Of course, none of us are indispensable, are we? Sometimes we think we are, but we're not. We're not indispensable. But friends, let me say this. May the Lord Jesus Christ live in us as Christians in such a way that we impact others in a blessed way, so that we have a life of grace, a life of beauty, a life of compassion for others, that when we are gone, we'll be missed. You live in such a way as a Christian that when you're gone, you will be missed. And I don't just mean missed by family and loved ones, because we know that, but missed in terms of service for Christ. Missed in terms of service for Christ. That when your seat is empty, people say, there's one who held the ropes in this church. There was a prayer warrior. There was one who is faithful at church every Sunday. When there was outreach to be done, they were there. They served this church well. We'll miss them. We'll miss them when we'll miss that person. And friend, that's the way we ought to live as Christians. That when we're gone, we will be sorely, sorely missed within the body and church of Christ. Dorcas was such a woman. And Luke tells us here, as he writes these words, that these men came down to Peter. He arose and went with them immediately. When he arrived, they took him up to the upper chamber where Dorcas's body had been placed. There's all the widows weeping, showing the garments that she had made for them while she was with them. And in that time, in that culture, there was nobody as destitute as widows. They were the lowest. Remember how in the New Testament church that they went and they had deacons to look after the widows, look after the practical matters of the widows, because the apostles were taking up so much time preaching and looking after them. They weren't able to fulfill the role, so they got the committee men, as we call them today, the deacons, to look after the widows, the destitute. And they were the lowest of the lowest, it were. And they were the neediest people in society. These were helpless women, because there's no social benefits in those days. You didn't go to your dole office or your local council office, wherever it was, and get handed a widow's pension. There's no such thing. And these women had nothing, and they had no one in their lives to care for them. But these widows had Dorcas. It's a testimony to Dorcas that when she died, they showed by their weeping and how they were there that she had an impact on their life. It wasn't just pleasant memories, but she had a deep impact on their life. And I think it's instructive when the Bible says that they had things Dorcas made while she was with them. While she was with them. It wasn't a case of she made something and sent it across the country to them. But she is with them. She is with them on a daily basis, you could say. She may have been in their homes. They may have been in her home. She was there. She didn't serve them from a distance. But she was with them. She showed them love and compassion. And when we think of real mums in our lives, you cannot help but think of personal contact. Our physical mothers, there's a personal contact. There's a mother doesn't impact the lives of those she loves by mere proxy, but rather by proximity. Is it closeness, a personal contact? And may our lives in the same way impact others, not from a distance, but in a personal way. May that we are, as it were, with them. And she had an impact on those she loved while she lived with them. And yet one of her greatest impacts in the lives of others was about to occur through something that was totally outside of her control. One final thought as we close. I want you to see she was an instrument used by God. Because when Peter saw this situation, her body lying there in the upper chamber, the grieving and desperate disciples, the weeping of the widows, the needy all around him, he had to decide what to do, obviously. I expect he knew this was God's hand at work in this all. This didn't happen by chance. And he saw this as an opportunity to advance the cause of the gospel in Joppa and to see the faithful there grow in grace. As they saw this miracle, this would strengthen their faith, this would help them, but it also helped the advance and preaching of the gospel. I believe that Peter right there remembered what Christ had done, his master had done. Remember, the Lord Jesus had done something similar. Remember Jairus' daughter? There, he sent his servant there to the Lord Jesus Christ, begging him, come and lay your hand on my daughter. She's dying. Come and heal her. The Lord consented to go. But on the way, while he was on the way, the girl's life left her. And those who brought the news to Jairus then told him, my daughter has died. Don't trouble the Savior any longer. There's no point. She's dead. We read in Luke 8:51. The Lord told him not to be afraid, but only believe. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter. Notice that Peter was there, and James and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, weep not, she's not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, and knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them they should tell no man what was done. Peter was present. He witnessed the Saviour raising Jairus' daughter. He seen the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think he took the words of Christ seriously, those words we quoted earlier. He that believeth in me, the works that I do, shall he do also. He believed he was an apostle. He was sent out one. He is to go forward and preach the gospel. And he believed the words that Christ had said to Jairus' daughter, she's not dead but sleepeth, and trusted in the power of the Holy Spirit to work through him. Peter simply did everything he remembered Christ doing and trusted the situation to him. Here Peter put all the mourners out. It's like reading the same story near. He puts them all out, as the case of Jairus' daughter, the Saviour did. And he led down there, and he just had that alone time with her, as it were. And he said, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Dorcas, I say unto thee, arise. Here Dorcas opened her eyes. Seeing Peter, she sat up. And what a celebration that must have been on that day. What a celebration this was for these dear saints, for these dear widows. But I believe that God had a purpose in it all. He was using Dorcas as an instrument. She was making an impact on those around her in Joppa. But he was using her as an instrument. It was God's intention that the power and authority of the gospel, as now was being preached through the apostles in the regions of Judea and America, or Samaria, to be shown to have the same power and authority as it was in the days of the Lord preaching. Thus the Holy Spirit moved in this scene, moved in the reason of this woman to advance the cause of Christ. And friends, we can look at her and think, she was an instrument used of God. Could I be an instrument used of God? Of course you could. She didn't realize she was going to be an instrument. She didn't realize that when she died that God was going to use this sad episode to further the cause of the gospel. But he was working in her life in such a way that she had been used as a mother type to those around her. And as we look at our own lives, each one of us are instruments in the hand of God. Now, it may never happen what happened to Dorcas, but in so many other ways, the Lord can take us, take the circumstances of our life. He can change them. He can bring us into dire circumstances, trials, troubles, tribulations, things that are all outside of our control. And he can work them for good. Those things that don't look good on the outside, this didn't look good. This woman had died. What good could come out of this? Yet the Lord used it for his glory. And you think of mothers, let me say this to you this morning. You think of those children you've prayed for, your own family, your nieces and nephews. You think of the children you've prayed for in this church, belonging to the church family. The children in Sunday school, children in children's meetings. And you, in that sense, have been a mother type to them. And you've prayed for them. And you've been an instrument in their life. You may not even have known it. You may not even have known it. And we often hear it in testimonies when someone will testify on how a godly Sunday school teacher, children's worker, said this to me 30, 40 years ago, put their arm around me in a sense, and welcomed me to the meeting, made me feel welcome, made me feel part of it, took me in under the wing, as it were. And God was using you as an instrument. And let me say to others here this morning, I wonder, do you have a precious mother or mother type who's tried to teach you about the gospel and about the Lord Jesus Christ and has encouraged you to put your faith and trust in him? You may be here that today you're not saved, and you can look back to that Sunday school teacher. You can look back to that children's worker that has preached to you and give the gospel to you and have prayed for you for years and years and years and have wept tears even for you, for your soul. And yet today you're here in this meeting or you're watching online and you're not saved. You're not saved. Perhaps you have enjoyed the blessing of a godly mother, a physical mother, who's brought you up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, who's prayed for you from the moment you were born, has wept many tears for you, still weeps tears for you every day, and you're still not saved. You're far from Christ. What a blessed Mother's Day this would be. What a blessed Mother's Day this would be if you would come as a sinner to Jesus. If you'd come and have your sins forgiven, and that you would see a mother's prayer answered, a mother type to many. Dear mothers, dear ladies, men, we can all be such disciples where we impact the lives of others, that we would become an instrument in the hands of God. May he be pleased to use all of us, and may we live in such a way that when we go, we'll be missed. That we'll be missed. Not that when our seat's empty, no one even notices we're gone. What a tragedy that would be, wouldn't it? Would that not be an awful tragedy? That we were saved, and yet when God called us home, our seat was empty, and everything just went on as normal. Nothing changed. Weren't missed in terms of service to Christ, I mean. I think that would be a tragedy, would not? Let's live in such a way that we'll be missed when we're gone. May Dorcas, this mother type to many, be an example to each one of us this morning. The Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's close the meeting. Seek the Lord in prayer. Gracious Father in heaven, we thank you for the examples we find in Scripture Lord, there's so many different people that we often can come to a Moses or a David or a Paul, and we think of these great spiritual men. We've been looking at the disciples. We saw Peter and Doubting Thomas, and we've seen other men. And then we come to others who are more obscure, and we can read through Scripture and not even notice them. But Father, we thank you for this godly lady who was a mother type to many, who loved her Savior, and because she loved her Savior, she loved others. What a lesson for us this morning. May the love of Christ be shed abroad in our hearts, even into the lives of others. We think of those children, Lord, that we impact even in this church through Sunday school and children's meetings and JYC and youth fellowship. Lord, may we be seen as spiritual mothers and fathers even to them. May we pray for them. Maybe weep over their souls, and may they see in us that we love them, that if they are experiencing a problem, they can come and speak to us. Lord, that we would not be down in the mouth about our young people, but rather encourage them, praise them when they do well. But Lord, may we live a life that is well-pleasing unto thee, that when we are gone, that we will be truly missed in that spiritual sense. And Lord, we pray for any children in that sense today, who even that physical mother and in the spiritual sense, that spiritual mother has been praying for them. They're still not saved. Maybe here this morning, sitting in this church building or watching online. And there's many a broken mother's heart over their son or daughter. Father, speak to their heart. We thank you, thy word is a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. And may this be a blessed Mother's Day, even rejoicing because that son, that daughter has come home, has come and trusted Christ as Savior. Oh, Father, bless thy word to all our hearts. We pray, Lord, you'll undertake for us throughout the remainder of this day. Bless us this evening again under the sign of thy word. And we ask it all in our Savior's name and for thy eternal glory. Amen.